This is Matt Wells at UN News. Making sure that more women take part in arms control talks should be a key priority for all countries, UN researchers said on Thursday after publishing a report showing that female delegates are significantly underrepresented in key discussions about weapons of mass destruction. In an interview with Daniel Johnson from UN News, Renata Dwan, director of the United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research, or UNIDIR, and report author Renata Hespin-Dalacqua explain why this traditionally male-dominated area has been slow to change.
I think it is traditionally perceived as a military-oriented domain. It's perceived as a highly technical domain. It's perceived as a domain that you enter for life rather than one form of diplomacy that you may engage in across the course of your career. But it also reflects changing notions of authority in diplomacy and how we understand authority, and that has often been defined as a masculine form.
So it's very interesting that you talk about disarmament in that way, because there is a wish from the top of the UN to make sure that disarmament becomes more inclusive and does change, and we get out of this deadlock that we've seen in nuclear weapons disarmament negotiations. So how might it help that?
Well, I think there's at least three reasons why more gender diverse participation can help contribute to the reinvigoration of arms control. One, I think it enlarges the aperture. It widens the set of people that are interested. Key example, the Women, Peace and Security agenda is a super active agenda internationally and particularly in the UN. Do they engage in disarmament? No. Why don't they? They engage in every other part of peace and security.
And why don't they?
Traditionally, disarmament has not been on the WPS agenda, although they're looking at that and increasingly becoming interested in that, and right this year exploring whether they might put it on their agenda. So I think it would widen the scope of the debate and the number of people involved in arms control. It might bring different and diverse perspectives, questions, engagement, part of the more diverse forum you have, the more range of topics that are brought to the table. And we feel then can invite new ways of thinking and new ways of subject matter, and indeed new ways of negotiating to help advance progress in arms control.
I mentioned technology earlier, but how might it actually change things more rapidly and bring more women into the process of arms control?
It's true that the whole idea of new technology innovations and their implications for international security and arms control is an emerging theme on the disarmament agenda. And women, younger women perhaps, are engaged in these areas and fields and therefore might enter into the arms control forum through discussions, whether on cyber security issues, whether on issues related to artificial intelligence, whether on issues related to 5G or automation or quantum computing. It must be noted, though, and this is receiving a lot of attention internationally, that the participation of women in STEM, science and technology, engineering and maths, is actually going down in the last decade rather than going up. So there, we need to take action early and proactive action to make sure that women do enter into these newer fields and that it doesn't reinforce the gender disbalance.
That's it really, isn't it? It's education. And if we do have this digital gender divide, how are we going to address these very technical and specialist fields such as disarmament? Because they are dominated by men, always have been, perhaps always will be.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that latter. But I do think you're right that investing in education at an early age is critical. How women choose the subjects they do, how they're encouraged to look at topics that are technical, that are in the area of STEM, is going to play a critical role. Internships for women in arms control institutes, opportunities at graduate study at school to study these areas, really critical to introduce a new generation. And I would say that in arms control for the reinvigoration, we have a broader need to bring in a youth participation, inclusive of young women in that sphere.
Maybe you could just give me a few figures from your latest report into gender diversity in disarmament, particularly the proportion of women participating in arms control in delegations and in conferences.
Well, I think what you see is the average percentage of women in arms control forums is just around 30%, 32%. So that's one third, we're talking more or less, in the room. What's interesting is that when it gets to smaller, more restrictive forums, that drops even more to around 20%. So then it becomes, in negotiating forums and smaller forums, one-fifth of the participants are women. What's really striking is that we see successively more women entering into delegations, but less women at leadership of arms control delegations. So the leaders of a process, you see less and less women.
A final question. Regionally speaking, how does the gender diversity manifest itself in delegations from, say, the African region, the Asian region, compared to the European and North American?
Well, there are many factors that explain the participation of women in diplomacy and women in arms control diplomacy. What I would highlight is that you have relatively high performance of Latin American, Caribbean women participation in arms control. And there is some correlation between the level of the income status of a country and participation in diplomacy by women.
You have this report. What's going to happen next?
So what we're interested in is beginning a broader discussion here in Geneva, in New York and elsewhere on how can we encourage women to participate in arms control forums, what that consists of, what that might be involved, and then moving forward, how can we look at the impact, the so what question, and what do gender perspectives bring to arms control, and how does women's participation impact?
And you did speak to diplomats who are involved in these arms control discussions, which must be very illuminating. Maybe you could just give me an insight into the willingness among those diplomats to change.
I think my colleague Renata would be best placed to answer that question. But what I will say that what we do see is a broader discussion of the challenges of being a woman in a diplomatic sphere. The emphasis, the challenges it presents to family life and balance with travel, with long hours, with engagement, the highly technical nature of the exercise that leads a lot of women to opt out and not feel that they are qualified to be in the room as negotiators. But I think we're seeing only the start of a question. What we were struck in our discussions was that it was something that was new for diplomats to think about too.
Okay, so I'm following orders now to Renata Hessman-Delacqua. You are the author of this report. So straight into it then, the Chatham House discussion that you had with diplomats, fascinating, obviously no names, but what were they saying to you? How willing were they to change?
It was a difficult conversation because they are not used to discussing gender attributes and how gender attributes may affect their positions. You know, there is this idea that diplomats are delivering messages, and so the gender of the messenger, it's not an important thing. But we know it's not true. We know personal attributes play a role in diplomacy. And so this was a first time for many of them discussing this idea that there are things that are different when you are a man or a woman representing a country in a certain place or delivering a certain message. And in arms control and disarmament, there is this idea that it's a military topic and women don't have military training. What we see is women being added as the third or the fourth person in the delegation, so they don't get to speak, they don't get to lead. They have fewer chances to influence the outcomes. So our goal now is to actually draw attention to going beyond the numerical representation. We are still underrepresented, but we also need to discuss why do we have 40% of women participating in the Conference on Disarmament, and sometimes you attend a session and you don't hear one single woman speaking. So these are the issues that we want to tackle, and I think that's what's important moving forward from this report.